I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, the mind of an ultra-marathoner. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for a look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
2 years ago, the New York Mets cut pitcher R.A. Dickey during spring training. This week, Dickey became the first knuckleballer to win the National League Cy Young Award, and he attributed his success to a team effort. But the team he was referring to was not the Mets, was it?
Yes, it was what he referred to as the knuckleball fraternity.
Isn't that great?
Somewhere Jim Boughton is enjoying himself immensely. It's good for him. He's turned out to be not only a terrific pitcher, but a really good ambassador for the game. And if he gets more people throwing the knuckleball, that's all to the good, because there's nothing more fun than watching knuckleball pitchers pitch.
The American League Cy Young Award winner is David Price of the Tampa Bay Rays. He tied for the league lead in wins and winning percentage. Were you surprised that a lot of members of the Baseball Writers Association voted for Justin Verlander instead?
No, Justin Verlander is a brand name now, and if he has a good season, then he will get a lot of votes. No, I'm not surprised it was that close at all.
It's fall here in the Northeast, and that means foliage turning pretty colors. In Miami, it means time for another Marlins fire sale. Assuming the three-team mega trade works out as planned, should Toronto start printing playoff tickets now?
Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, there is not a bigger enough anthill nor enough jam to smear on him for Jeffrey Loria, the owner of the Florida Marlins, who's been trying to blackjack a stadium out of the fans in Miami, and when he didn't get what he wanted, he starts selling off the team. To be perfectly honest with you, the deal he made is pretty good. Judging from all I've been able to read, the prospects they've got in return are very promising.
Mark Burley is one of the players Miami traded to Toronto, and he has a pit bull. Ontario, wherein lies Toronto, has had a ban on pit bulls since 2005. Do you suppose they'll make an exception if Burley promises to win 20 games, let him take the dog in?
Well, there are other solutions. He could live outside of Toronto, outside of Ontario. He could live in Michigan, he could live in Quebec. The dog may well board in Broward County for a while.
In last weekend's NFL action, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Alex Smith threw a touchdown pass after suffering a concussion. Any danger that coaches around the league will see this as evidence that quarterbacks should stay in even when they're seeing double?
Oh, I guarantee you that there are coaches out there who believe that, because that's the way we did it back in the 30s when we were all seeing double in the NFL and we liked it. To be perfectly honest with you, Jim Harbaugh, his coach, didn't make me feel any better when he said that Smith, quote, had blurred vision after the quarterback sneak. There's no telling. Did that earlier hit contribute? I don't know, and I don't think Alex knows for sure either. If Alex doesn't know for sure either, that's also part of the problem.
That's why he shouldn't have been in the game any longer. Some of Tim Tebow's Jets teammates have been criticizing him, and Jets head coach Rex Ryan has called the critics cowards, so I guess we can consider the Jets a team to be reckoned with over the next month and a half, eh?
The pressure is going to be on tremendously if Mark Sanchez continues to have the terrible year he's having now to, quote-unquote, give Tebow a chance because, quote-unquote, all he does is win. I think this was some of the teammates laying down a marker saying, look, whatever's going on with Sanchez, we don't want this guy either.
As the governor of Alabama, Robert Bentley is asked to weigh in on lots of issues. I'm not an expert on Alabama state law. Does Governor Bentley have any authority over the play calling for the Crimson Tide football team?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding? And no governor ever will have that. Doesn't mean he can't speak out, though, which he did. He was critical of some play calling that Nick Saban made at crucial times against Texas A&M. But we both know who the most well-paid and most influential public official in Alabama is. And guess who it is? It's not the governor.
I don't know if you are among those who assumed that Phil Jackson would become the Lakers head coach after Mike Brown was fired last week, but Mike D'Antoni felt that that would be the case. How did he learn that he had guessed wrong?
They called him up and said, hey, would you like to coach the L.A. Lakers? Press one for yes, yeah. Press two for no,
I can imagine
press three
him saying,
for the Memphis Grizzlies.
I can imagine him saying, I think you dialed the wrong number. Weren't you trying to get Phil Jackson?
Exactly.
Oh, didn't work out.
Yeah, so he gets reunited with Steve Nash, whom he coached in Phoenix, and his style of offense is completely different from Mike Brown, so very likely Kobe Bryant will be happy.
On Thursday, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman suggested that it might be time to take a break
from
the negotiations to end the league's lockout. I'm assuming that he's talking about a coffee break, maybe a couple hours off for lunch.
Well, they've been making so much progress and things have been going so well, they probably deserve to take some time off. I am starting to believe there will be no NHL season this year, and that will be sad, and it will be reason for every hockey fan in America to spit at the mention of Gary Bettman's name down four or five generations.
Meanwhile, Charlie, the NHL lockout has left a lot of people with time on their hands, including CBC broadcaster Don Cherry. It looks like Cherry might be able to land a side gig as a beekeeper What do you think?
Apparently, he was tweeting, and the story was too good for 140 characters, so he went through four different tweets. He was cleaning out a shed and got stung by bees, and then he found a bee's nest, and he went out and got some spray, and he sprayed in there, and then he took a long pole, which he spells P-O-L-L, by the way, just so you know, and smashed the nests, but by gall, they're still alive. Wait a minute. So you spray the nest. You don't wait to see if the spray works.
No.
You figure, what the heck? I'll just take a big stick and beat the thing and see what happens. And guess what? The bees get mad.
Charlie, hardcore sports fans are willing to travel when they have to. Home and away series, the Olympics, the World Cup, whatever. How many travel agents is it going to take to schedule a trip to all the venues that might be part of soccer's European Championship in 2020 if a proposal now on the table is approved?
Yeah, they're going to play in 13 different countries around Europe in Euro 2020. You know, I suppose, you know, considering they believe in high-speed rail, whereas we in the country and in this country don't, that there'll be some, you know, some interesting disputes at the border, I would think.
I think it's kind of a good idea because it takes the burden of paying for an extremely expensive event off the shoulders of just one country.
Of course, there's an easier way to eliminate the expense of Euro 2020, which is not have Euro, but that's probably not going to happen.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. In other soccer news, an Italian man and an Italian woman convicted of obscene acts in public appealed the decision by contending that making love outdoors on a particular evening in 2006 was okay because everybody else in town was inside watching Italy play Ukraine in a World Cup match on television. How did the judge respond to that defense?
The highest court in Italy rejected this particular appeal because I don't know why, because I would have ruled in their favor just for the sheer chutzpah of bringing that argument. And they brought it before the highest court in Italy, which is the Court of Cassation, which is apparently what they call it in Italy these days.
And finally,
sports!
Take a deep breath and let me know what you think about the achievement recorded this week by Stig Severinsen.
He's a free diver and a breathing expert, and he set the Guinness Book of World Records for holding his breath for 22 minutes. And I have no idea how blue he got.
Of all the world records that we have discussed, you and I, over the years, only a game.
I presume that there was a world record for this, but 22 minutes is mind-blowing.
And I guess if you do this, you have to be alive at the end, right?
Oh, that's a good question.
You can't be dead.
Because otherwise it would be an 8-zillion-way tie.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. And, of course, he joins me each week on Only a Game to talk about
sports!
Sports! Thanks,
Charlie. Thanks, Phil.
Earlier in the program, Scott Graff reported on the Yahoo Internet outage that had fantasy football fans fearing they'd fumble away their flankers and fullbacks. Were you affected? Share your fantasy nightmares on our Facebook page, facebook.com/onlyagameradio.